Okay, well, we began a new series, a new study last week entitled, What Does God Love? What does God love? And friends, let's make no mistake about it. God loves first and foremost the humanity He created. He loves you so very much. You are so valuable, so precious in the sight of God. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Word of God says that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So God loves humanity so very much. But you know, there are character traits that God loves. Say it again. There are character qualities in us that God really loves. And the key text, interestingly, is found in Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 16 through 19. And this passage of Scripture in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, talks about the six things that God hates. Seven are an abomination to Him. In other words, He really hates these seven sins. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. So you might be wondering today, well, Jonathan, if you're going to talk about the things that God loves, what does God love? Why would you choose a passage where it talks about the seven things that God really hates? The reason is this. Because if God really hates these sins, that means that He must really love their opposites. Does that make sense? All right, let's turn to Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension amongst brothers. Verse 19. The sin that tops the list is haughty eyes. Another version, the KJV, has it as a proud look. The thing that God really hates is at the top. It's pride. It is probably at the top of the list because pride is the root of so many other sins in a person's life. We talked about this sin last week. What is pride? I studied the word, and the conclusion is this. Pride is when a person has an overinflated view of themselves while underestimating others. It's an overinflated view of oneself while undervaluing others. So if God hates pride, He must really love its opposite. What is its opposite?
Humility.
Humility. Exactly. God really loves humility. What does the attitude of humility say toward God? It says, God, my life is yours. You do with my life as you please. You take the reins of my life. You take the steering wheel of my life. Jesus, you be in full charge of every part of my life. This is what the attitude of humility says. It says, God, any good thing that I have received in life, it has come from you. Finances, a job, a place to stay here at the shelter, relationships, emotional health, all these good things, God, have come from you. God, I know where I came from. But every good thing that I've received in life, God, it has come from you. I humbly bow to you and I admit this to you, God. This, friend, is an attitude of humility. This is an attitude that God loves and that God blesses. Would you agree? And then we talked about some of the dangers of pride versus the blessings of humility. What is one of the dangers of pride? One of the dangers of pride is that it leads to destruction and the fall. But an attitude of humility gives us what blessing? An attitude of humility leads to promotion and exaltation by God. Jesus said it in Luke. He said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." So a danger of pride is a fall, right? But the blessing of humility is, let's say it, promotion. Another danger of pride is this. What's another danger of pride? It's fighting and bickering. Some people are of the attitude, it's either my way or the highway. You've got to see it my way. I've got no flex. How many here know somebody like that? Some people have an overinflated view of their perspective, their view on something. You know, what does humility say? See, when it's my way or the highway, that prideful attitude, it brings you into fighting, into quarreling with someone else. But humility says what? Humility says, friend, you can express your perspective, your view. You can't change another person's perspective. Guess who is the only one that can change their perspective? It's God and God alone. So if you allow another person in your life to express their perspective, their view, and let them express it and not fight with them, guess what? That humble attitude brings about peace and harmony. So another danger of pride is what? It's fighting and quarreling. But the attitude of humility brings about peace and harmony. Does that make sense? All right. Well, from Proverbs 6, verse 16, we're going to talk about the second thing today that God hates. What is the second thing that God hates? From Proverbs 6, verse 16. He hates a lying tongue. Let me put it plain and simple. God hates lies. Having studied this thing that God hates, I conclude that a lie is this. It's a false statement intended to mislead or deceive another person. Should I say it again? This is what a lie is. A lie is a false statement intended to mislead or deceive another person. To lie is to mislead a person's mind to believe an untruth as the truth. To lie is to mislead a person's mind to believe an untruth, a false statement, as the truth. Does that make sense? Now, with whom did lying originate? With whom did lying originate? The devil. What did Jesus say in John 8:44? In John 8:44, referring to the devil, Jesus says this: He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. There is not a hint of truthfulness in the devil. He is the author of lies, the father of it. This is found in John 8:44. 8:44. You know, the devil lied to Eve back in the garden. I think it's probably the first lie that we could see in Scripture. In the garden, what did God say to Adam? Excuse me? He's the father of lies. John 8:44. In Genesis 2, God created man, right? He created man, put him in this beautiful garden. And what did he say to man? You guys remember? He said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. You will surely die. And you know, even the devil knows that God's word stands true. What God says is true, and the devil knows it. So what does the devil do? Lo and behold, in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Verse 2 of Genesis 3. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Verse 4 is where the devil lies to Eve. Remember, the devil knew that if they ate of the fruit, that they would die, right? We agree on that, right? He knew that if man and woman ate the fruit, that they would die. This is the lie he proposes to the woman in Genesis 3:4. This is what he says. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. What did he do? He just He just lied. He tempted her. He said, if you eat of the fruit, God knows that you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And guess what? The woman fell to the temptation. She ate of the fruit. She gave some to her husband, and sin entered the world. Lying is a bad thing. Would you agree? Now, I went to public school my whole life, and when I was a student in school, you know, there was an excuse that used to go around, and I've heard it, maybe some of you guys have heard it, and maybe some of you guys have heard this excuse. Let's take a for instance example here. The teacher gives a English homework assignment, right? Say it's a fifth grade class. And so the teacher the next day is collecting the English homework assignments. And Sally doesn't have her homework assignments. Sally knows deep down inside something came up, she forgot to do it, and the teacher says to Sally, Sally, what happened to your English homework assignment? And what does Sally say?
The dog ate it.
It's not an excuse, it is a what?
Lie.
It's a lie. Yeah, I don't know many dogs or cats that find paper appetizing. How about you? Right? Unless it's a starving dog, right? Right, exactly. So the dog ate it. It's a lie. And you know, you might be thinking today, well, you know what? That's just a white lie. That's just a white lie. Friends, let me tell you something. In God's sight, there are not white lies versus black lies. There are not small lies versus big lies. There are not minor lies versus major lies. Every lie in the sight of God is equally what? Every lie, every misrepresentation of truth in the sight of God is equally sinful. Does that make sense? Do you agree? You know, Revelation 21:8 says this, and I'm not trying to preach you a scary message of hellfire and brimstone, but it does say in Revelation 21:8, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Let's say it again. All liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is probably where the phrase came, liar, liar, pants on fire. I bet it came from Revelation 21, verse 8. Right? You know, the Christian walk is a very fragile walk. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, that the narrow way, few go that way. But the narrow way is the way that leads to everlasting life. The broad way, the wide road, leads to destruction. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that we are not to distort the truth. Let's represent what is as it is. Amen? Let's go back to an instance in Acts chapter 5 about two individuals who lied. And let's see what happened here. How many here have heard of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? They had a piece of land. And they sold it. And they brought the money to the feet of the apostles. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Verse 4, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, verse 5, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Verse 6, then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Verse 9, Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Verse 11, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Friends, guess what? From this passage, we find out what? What do we discover from Acts 5, verses 1 through 11? That when you misrepresent the truth to another human being, guess what? You're not only lying to another human being, you are lying to God Himself. You are lying to the Holy Spirit. When you lie to someone, it's like a slap in the face of God. You know, and if we lie to God, friend, I'm here to tell you today, we are standing on dangerous grounds. If God hates a lying tongue, the good news is this. That He loves what? If God hates a lying tongue, He loves a truthful mouth. That's good news, right? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 51:6, "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place." You know, God loves and blesses when a person represents something or some situation just as it is without distorting it. That's what the truth is, right? Say that again. The truth is representing something or a situation just as it is without distorting it. And God loves the truth. God loves it when we share the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. What did Jesus say in John 14:6? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," through Jesus. You know, God does not like it when people propagate this mindset, this theology that there are many ways to God. You know what? That theology that there are many ways to God, many roads to God, that is a lie in the sight of God, and God hates it. But God loves it when we propagate the truth, when we preach the truth, when we tell the truth that there is only one way to God and His name is Jesus Christ. You agree with that? So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about some of the dangers of lying versus the blessings of truthfulness. The dangers of lying versus the blessings of truthfulness. Proverbs 26:28 says this. So from the NIV that I'm reading today. "A lying tongue hates those that it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin."
Proverbs 21.
26, verse 28. Guess what one of the dangers of lying is? It hurts and it harms others. It hurts and it harms others. How many have heard of a man named Bernie Madoff over the last several months? Bernie Madoff. He was a guy who came up with this Ponzi scheme. He would take people's money and invest it in this Ponzi scheme. But come to find out just recently that people gave their entire estate, their entire life savings to this man named Bernie Madoff, and they found out that he was a liar. A lot of people lost their entire estate. You see, what he would do is he would gain people's trust, and then he would take them down. And a lot... What's that? No, Bernie Madoff. And this man, Bernie Madoff, financially devastated a lot of people and families. Why? How did he devastate them financially? By lying to them about this scheme that he had come up with. There's a lot of details on it, but you can go to Google on the internet and just look up Bernie Madoff. But so lying, what it does is it hurts and it harms other people. On the other hand, what does truthfulness do to people? What does a truthful tongue do?
Sets clarity, sets people free.
It helps others. A truthful tongue, an honest heart, blesses other people as well as yourself. We have a business here in Tulsa. We work on people's homes. We do a lot of guttering work, and Brett knows this. I have a subcontractor that works with me installing gutters on people's houses. And I've worked with other people that have done the same thing, but I really like working with this one individual who installs gutters because he's a very honest person. He shows up when he says he's going to show up. He charges what he says he's going to charge and no more. He's been always very honest and truthful, and guess what? It's blessed him. How has it blessed him? It's blessed him because he's made some pretty good profits with my company, and he has caused my company to make some pretty good profits. So when you're dealing with an honest person, when you're honest to yourself, it blesses you as well as other people. Amen? Amen. All right. Another danger of a lying tongue is this, as it destroys trust in another person. If somebody lies to you, if they distort the truth, if they don't represent it the way it is, and they lie to you, you find out later that they lie, what does it do to your trust in them? It kind of destroys your trust in them, right? What else does it do? It kind of tears apart relationships, right? So that's what a lying tongue destroys trust. It ruins relationships. On the other hand, the blessing of a truthful tongue is that it does what? It builds confidence and it strengthens relationships. Would you agree? Let me tell you a little story of something that happened to me about 10 years ago, back in 99, I believe it was. I was doing some work in South Tulsa on a man's house. Influential person in South Tulsa. And he had paid me in cash for the job that I did. So he handed me a stack of 20s. I don't remember exactly what the amount of money was, but he handed me a pile of 20s. And I counted the money twice, right? And I come to find that in the pile of 20s that he gave me, there was one 20 too much. So I went back to him, and you know what? Even if he had not found out about it, you know, he wouldn't have missed it because he's influential and I believe he's well off. So, but I wanted to be honest. I wanted to be truthful about it. So I went to him and I said, sir, I just wanted to let you know that you gave me one 20 too much in this stack of cash. He looked at me and guess what he said? I believe he told me to keep it, but he said, man, you are an honest guy. And during this time, he knew that I was doing missions work in Southeast India. And he said, you know what? He says, you're honest for telling me that. He says, I want to sit with you within the next week and let's talk about what you're doing in Southeast India in reaching the lost. So about a week later, we met at Amazio's in South Tulsa. And we're just sitting, talking, eating pizza and shooting the breeze. And he opens up his checkbook and he writes a check. It's about the second time this guy has met me. Second or third time. He writes a check for $750 to help us with the work in Southeast India. Why did he do that? Why did he bless my organization that way? Because when he handed me that stack of 20s a week earlier, I did what? I told him the truth. I was honest with him that he had given me too much money, right? So friends, if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. If you have an honest heart and a truthful tongue, God will bless you. Amen? Amen? Let's walk in it every day. The Word of God says, be ye therefore holy as the Lord your God is holy. What is part of the holy walk? It's being honest. It's being truthful. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says this. I believe it's verse 18. It says that it is impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And the Word of God says that we are to be imitators of God. And if it's impossible for God to lie, that means that for our lives, it should eventually become impossible for us to lie. Amen? We should be speaking the truth. We should be communicating. Now listen to this. We should be communicating and representing a situation to someone else exactly as it is without distorting the picture. That's truthfulness. And to close off this message, I want to just talk for the next few minutes about how to become more truthful in your walk with God. In your Christian walk, how do you become more truthful? What did Jesus say about himself in John 14, verse 6? He said, I am the way, the truth. He is the truth, the embodiment of truth, and the life. What does John write in 1 John 2, 6? It says, if we claim to live in him, we must walk as Jesus walked. The walk of Jesus was a walk of what? It was a walk of honesty and truth. So when the opportunity arises in your life to either tell a lie or the truth, ask yourself this question. WWCD, say it with me today. WWCD, what would Christ do? Christ would not lie. He would tell the truth every time. Amen? How to become more truthful. Remember this scripture, Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, true. Let me emphasize that. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, friends, the things we think about and the things we meditate upon are the things we are going to eventually do what? Speak, right? Because the Word of God says what? It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're thinking on truthful things, on noble things, on honest things, and you're meditating on the truth day in and day out, guess what? When the opportunity arises, you are going to speak the truth that is hidden up deep down in your heart. Does that make sense? Let's meditate on the truth. It's in the Word of God, Philippians 4:8. And finally, how to become more truthful. Finally, remember the golden rule. What does the golden rule say? What did Jesus say in Matthew 7:12? What does the golden rule say? How many here have heard of the golden rule? This brother's got it. That's the golden rule. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, so in everything, what does everything include? It includes everything, which includes truth-telling. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Think about it this way. Always put yourself in the other person's shoes. If you were the other person, would you want to know the truth or a lie? If you were the other person, would you want to know the truth or a lie? Tell me. Say it with me. The truth. Say, I would want to know the truth. I would want to know the truth if I was in that person's shoes, right? So, what do? Speak the truth to that person. Amen? You know, as you sow seeds of truth into other people's lives, guess what? When the opportunity arises and somebody has to communicate something to you, you will reap a harvest of truth from them. Does that make sense? Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Amen? So let's be truth tellers all the days of our life. Amen? All right. Say it with me. I am going to be a truth teller all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.